Welcome to the Deep Dive. We distill crucial knowledge from your sources, helping you cut through the noise. Today, we're looking into a really ambitious idea in quantum computing, topological quantum computing, or TQC. It's pitched as a kind of ultimate quantum shortcut.
Right, and the reason people are even looking for a shortcut is because of this huge hurdle in, let's call them, conventional quantum computers. You know, superconducting circuits, trapped ions.
The decoherence dilemma.
Exactly. The basic building blocks, the qubits, are incredibly fragile. They're local, they're exposed, and any little bit of environmental noise can just make them collapse, lose the quantum state.
But hang on, don't we have quantum error correction, QEC, protocols for that? Isn't that supposed to fix the fragility issue?
Well, yes and no. QEC exists, but think of it like a software patch for a hardware problem. And it's incredibly resource intensive. The overhead is just massive.
How massive are we talking?
We're talking potentially thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of these delicate physical qubits, just to create one stable logical qubit you can actually compute with reliably.
Wow. Okay.
Right. It slows everything down,
Right. Makes
the systems hugely complex, and drives up the cost astronomically.
Okay. So that's the context. And TQC comes in saying, we can do better. It wants to solve this fragility problem right at the source, at the hardware level.
Precisely. That's the revolutionary promise. Forget the massive software overhead. Build the protection right into the physical system.
Let's get into that core idea then, topological protection. I know there's a famous analogy involving knots.
That's the one. Imagine the quantum information isn't stored in one tiny vulnerable spot. Instead, imagine it's encoded in the overall property of, say, a knot tied in a piece of string.
Okay.
Now, if you jiggle a small part of that string, or if it gets a little frayed locally, the fundamental property, the fact that it is knotted, its knottedness, that global feature doesn't change.
So the information isn't local at all. It's spread out somehow.
Correct. It's encoded non-locally in the system's global topology. And the things carrying this information, the physical basis, are these exotic quasi-particles called non-abelian anions.
Non-abelian anions. That sounds pretty wild.
It is. And the front runners right now, the ones getting the most attention, are called Majorana Zero Modes, or MZMs.
Right, the MZMs. I've read they're supposed to exist as these protected states, zero energy, often at the very ends of specially engineered nanowires.
That's the theoretical prediction. And here's the really neat part for computation. Quantum logic gates aren't done by zapping individual qubits. Instead, you physically braid these anions around each other.
You braid them, like physically move them.
Yes, you guide their paths. And the outcome of the computation depends only on the topology of that braid, how the paths weave and wrap, not the exact geometric paths they took. A little wobble doesn't matter.
Ah, I see. So the operation itself becomes inherently robust against small errors, fault tolerant by design.
That's the dream.
Okay, elegant theory. But then it ran straight into the messy world of experiments, right? For years, the hunt for MZMs focused on one particular signature, the ZBCP.
The zero bias conductance peak, yes. Basically, you measure electrical current through the device while varying voltage. Theory predicts a sharp spike in conductance exactly at zero voltage if an MZM is present at the end of the nanowire.
So find the peak, find the MZM.
If only you were that simple. The peak is necessary, sure, but it turned out not to be sufficient. And that's the crux of the problem, the impasse the field hit.
Why isn't it enough? What else could cause that peak?
Unfortunately, lots of other more mundane things, trivial stuff, relatively speaking. Things like disorder in the material, little imperfections, or other low energy states called Andreev bound states, ABS.
That can mimic the MZM signal, like imposters.
Exactly, MZM doppelgangers. And this ambiguity led to, well, some real scientific drama. Remember the Delft retractions? High-profile papers claiming MZM detection had to be pulled back?
Yeah, that caused a huge stir. Issues with undisclosed data processing, things like that, created a sort of trust deficit, didn't it?
Absolutely. And partly in response to that crisis, you saw major players, particularly Microsoft, step in and try to standardize things. They developed the topological gap protocol, the TGP.
Right, the TGP. A multi-stage statistical test designed to be more objective, to really nail down whether the signature is real. But that hasn't been smooth sailing either, has it?
No, it's highly criticized too. The core criticism is that it arguably hasn't solved the mimicry problem. The outcome, the pass-fail can be really sensitive to how you set up the specific parameters, temperature ranges, thresholds you choose.
So you could maybe inadvertently tweak things to get the result you want.
That's the concern. It potentially pushes the fundamental physics question back into the realm of, well, statistical interpretation and parameter choices.
So if the ZBCP isn't enough and the TGP is controversial, where does the field go? What's considered the real smoking gun now?
The consensus seems pretty clear now. Just seeing a peak isn't going to cut it. We need next generation experiments. We need to show these things actually do what they're supposed to do, meaning demonstrating their unique non-abelian braiding statistics. Actually performing braids, probably using networks of these nanowires, and showing that the outcome depends on the topology, just like the theory says. Prove the function, not just the signature.
Okay, but that sounds incredibly difficult.
Oh, it is. Monumentally difficult. And it puts TQC on a very different footing compared to the other approaches.
How so?
Well, look at superconducting circuits or trapped ions. They're tackling huge engineering challenges, how to scale up, connect thousands, now maybe over 1,000, physical qubits, improve coherence times incrementally. They have qubits, albeit noisy ones.
Where's TQC?
TQC is still wrestling with a fundamental science problem. They're still trying to definitively prove they have even one working, topologically protected qubit. Forget scaling for a moment. Just prove the basic unit exists and behaves as predicted.
So it's a much higher risk path.
Absolutely. High risk, potentially enormous reward if it works. But the timeline is really uncertain. Could be decades. It's aiming for that perfect, intrinsically fault-tolerant qubit, the topological shortcut, while everyone else is on the long, hard slog of improving noisy qubits and scaling up massive error correction.
Still, even with all the controversy and the setbacks, this whole pursuit must be pushing science forward in other ways.
Definitely. The demands on material science, for instance, needing incredibly pure crystals, precise nanofabrication in that work has pushed the boundaries of what's possible. That knowledge is valuable regardless of whether TQC ultimately succeeds.
So for you, the listener, maybe the final thought is this. We're watching a race with two very different strategies. Which path do you think ultimately wins the marathon to large-scale, truly useful, fault-tolerant quantum computation? Is it the slow, steady improvement of today's noisy systems with ever more complex error correction? Or is it this high-stakes gamble on finding that perfect topologically protected qubit? That's the question hanging over the field.